biblical rebuke. A clear distinction between the true gospel and every false gospel is absolutely necessary for the church's spiritual profit and protection. We must rebuke, never tolerate heretical views of God's word. The fact is, we live in a world where everybody wants to define love their own way. But if we love people truly, we're going to reprove error with conviction that God's word is true and God's word trumps everything else. God's love doesn't say, oh, it's okay, do whatever makes you feel good. God's love walks hand in hand with the God-breathed truth. Hey, because I care about you, I'm telling you that what I hear you saying, what I see you doing with your life, it's not agreeing with God's word. You're being deceived about your eternal profit margins. That's what's at stake here. Representing Jesus means that we are taking every thought captive to his supremacy that is revealed in his all-sufficient word. I had a great time with a brother this week, and he asked, do I wake up just thinking about Jesus every day? I was like, that's a very good question, and so piercing. Because no, you know, not like I want to. Our effectiveness in teaching and rebuking, it's not a matter of our personality. The prophet all comes from God's authority and power. C.S. Spurgeon also famously said, the Bible is like a lion. You don't have to defend it. You just need to let it loose. The word does the work. And as the word made flesh, Jesus spoke truth to refute error with perfect love. He often told the people that he was, that were hearing him speak, you have heard it said, right? Tradition. Tradition. You have heard it said, but this is what I say to you. This is what I say. Biblical doctrine enables biblical living. So it's not about us getting some kind of big head, we're puffed up, you know we're awesome at Bible trivia. No, it's about growing a heart like Jesus. Growing a heart like Jesus. Paul also speaks to the prophet of Holy Scripture, verse number three, for correction. Knowing God's word means knowing the right way from the wrong way. Paul's conveying the idea of how the Bible sets us straight, because we all need to be set straight. In our present darkness, so many reject the need for this correction. We hear it all the time. Well, okay, I hear what you're saying. You have your truth, but I have mine. Truth is truth. God defines the truth. Only God's word gives a solid foundation for the correction that we all need. And there's no alignment apart from the word of Christ. What does Psalm 119 say? His word is the lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So nothing is more practical and profitable than a light shining in the dark. And that is exactly why Jesus came, right? Isn't that what we're celebrating? The light came, and the darkness cannot overcome it. In 1678, a long time ago, John Bunyan wrote the Christian classic, The Pilgrim's Progress. And I'm glad that we only think of it as The Pilgrim's Progress, because the original title was The Pilgrim's Progress from the World to That Which Is to Come, which is awesome, but it's also a longer title, you know, so it just takes longer to write out. The Pilgrim's Progress from the World to That Which Is to Come. Bunyan wrote his thoughts as well from a tough spot. He spent 12 years in prison for preaching the Bible, knowing that he had a daughter, we would say, with special needs. She didn't have sight at home. He knew all of the struggles, but he was committed to the Word of God, whatever it cost. And he famously presented the Bible with these words. And maybe you've written these words not knowing they came from, you know, Bunyan's hand. He said, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. That's good, right? Where did he get that? The word of God. Psalm 119:11, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The flip side of behavioral correction is Scripture's prophet for training in righteousness. Who is the standard of righteousness? That's God. Christ alone makes us right with God. God's word provides the correction of our bad behavior and also the training manual that we need for doing it the right way. Again, God didn't leave us hanging. Now, training is hard. My workout record would bear witness to that, okay? Training is hard. It takes a disciplined commitment. But training leads to great profit. And that's why Paul urges action. As we saw back in chapter 2, verse 22, to Timothy, flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with all of those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Train hard, brothers and sisters, to know what to think and to do and what not to think and do. Mark Twain famously said, most people are bothered by the passages of Scripture that they can't understand. But as for me, I have always noticed that the passages in Scripture which trouble me most are those which I do understand. At least he was honest. Are we honest? Are you bothered by Scripture? Do you want to just let that go in one ear and out the other? Put the book on the shelf, keep that app, you know. It looks good on my phone screen, but I never use it, you know. Or are you committed to doing what Jesus wants? To letting his word train you? Because only by the light of his word can you overcome the spiritual darkness and grow in holiness. Only God's purposeful book makes us God's purposeful people. And we see that the Scripture has a specific purpose, a sufficient purpose. As Paul writes here, the Scripture has a sufficient purpose, verse 17, so that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Do you recognize the purpose statement there? So that. And there's no higher purpose than a life lived for God's glory. It's why Jesus was born. He did everything that the Father wanted so that he could be the sacrifice for us sinners. You remember the context of Paul's instruction. God's servant must prove the contrast that God's word graciously makes. In contrast to all the spiritual charlatans going around doing what they do, we all, like Timothy, need the prophet of God's word. Thinking what the Bible tells us to think. Doing what the Bible tells us to do. Not so that people look at us, so that people look at Jesus. Paul uses the phrase that was so well known from the Old Testament, the man of God. It's a title of respect for what God does through his chosen messengers. And we see it throughout the Old Testament. Moses and David and Elijah are all called the man of God. Or we could translate that the God's messenger more broadly. I'll tell you, it's been some years back now, but I remember just God out of nowhere really blessing me with the privilege of going to Kenya, East Africa, and just being a part of a team coming alongside groups of local church pastors that came from all across Nairobi. They came from even from other countries in East Africa. And, you know, so we were teaching in these seminars, and I had the opportunity to teach, but a little bit, but I'm telling you, I was learning a lot. I was learning a lot. God met me in that place. And one hot day, just a fond memory, you know, we're driving to this specific gathering of pastors, you know, big 10-roof building. We're waiting there for everyone to show up, you know, can feel it heating up, waiting for things to kick off. And as I waited, I heard one of the deacons in the hosting church, he comes walking through the room and he says in a booming voice, "Where's the MOG?" A lot of people speak English in East Africa, you know that? "Where's the MOG?" So I can understand. And I heard him say it again and again, and I was curious. I was like, why is he asking for the MOG? You know, like, MOG. I'm just like trying to reason it out. You know, what's the MOG? And everybody laughed because all of those guys had the same understanding. The MOG, the man of God, meaning to them, the lead pastor. And that's kind of how Paul means it here in his letters. He says to Timothy, "But as for you, O man of God." And in the context here in 2 Timothy 3:17, Paul seems to be referring especially to the man of God who is serving up the word of God to the church of God. Because God's work requires biblically qualified and passionate pastor teachers to lead, not from their own personality, but with the word. And it's a very weighty responsibility because it's about the glory of Almighty God. But there's more to this. I believe by application, it's a text that speaks not only to the purpose of pastor, teachers, elders in the church, but to the purpose of every Christ follower, everyone who belongs to God. Don't you want to be known as the messenger of God? Don't you want to prove profitable and grow more and more as God's kind of purpose, equipped for every kind of work that pleases him? How did Timothy grow up spiritually from infancy, verse 15, to manhood here in verse 17? It's the purposeful profit that results from just taking God at his word. That's it. J.I. Packer was a biblical scholar, an influential church leader in the lives of many people. I profited greatly from some of his writings. He passed away in 2020, but he wrote, preached a lot of impactful sermons. He wrote the book Knowing God and others. He once said this, quote, "If I were the devil, one of my first aims would be to stop folks from digging in the Bible." Of course, right? Because every day we need training in righteousness. We need to be digging in the Bible. It's the most profitable word. And yeah, you're going to fail. You're going to fail again and again. But the key is getting back up on the foundation of God's word. Getting back to the Bible. What was 2 Timothy 2:15? Do your best to present yourself to God as the one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. We've got to dig. We've got to be diligent to study it from cover to cover because it's all God-breathed. So you know it's all good, right? And so as we come to it, the invitation is drink deeply. Drink deeply. Aren't you thankful that Christ meets us in our need with all this provision? He loves you where you are, but he's leading you to where you need to go. All scripture has this purpose, making us completely competent and equipped. Paul uses the adjective in verse 17, competent, capable, proficient, outfitted to meet all demands. That's how he's describing God's purpose for God's messengers. We're saved to serve God with a purpose that will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And you know what? Sitting here, gathered together today, we don't see ahead to every good work that God is going to work in us and through us as his people. But Ephesians 2:10 says God does. He knows. We just need to trust the sufficiency of his word for our life. We just need to trust the sufficiency of his word for our future as Faith Bible Church. We just need to take him at his word. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on the opinions of the so-called scientific experts about spiritual matters. Don't lean on the theories and the therapies of self-loving psychologists and self-help gurus. Just lean into the most profitable word, God's word. And I promise you this, you will never regret embracing all of Scripture with all of your life. In fact, you will be glad for eternity with God. This is the most profitable word. Thanks be to God. Our Father in heaven, we just are humbled by such mercy that you would give us your perfect word. And we confess it afresh today as our only rule for faith and practice. But Father, I pray that that would be more than just words to us that go neither here nor there. I pray that you would help us to be more rooted than ever in what you say and more committed to what you want for us. And Lord, I pray that in this Advent season and as we lift up our eager prayers to you, Lord, approaching a new year, Lord, that you would do what only you can do in the power of your word in our lives and through us towards the lives of the people around us that you have purposely connected us with. I pray your blessing upon all of these families, all these brothers and sisters of Faith Bible Church. And Lord, as we think on these things, Lord, I pray that you would move us in the way that we should go and that you would fill us with hope in this present darkness, that you are exactly who you say you are and you are coming back. And we long to see you, Jesus. We love you because you first loved us. And we thank you for all of these things in your precious name.